Okay, good morning, Crossroads. Good morning to those of you here at South Kokomo. Good morning to our friends at the Crossroads North Kokomo campus. And because you can probably tell at that campus and this campus, we got a few more empty seats than we've been running the last few weeks. Welcome to many of you that are online joining us from other places. I know some of you went south to look for warmer weather and you're waking up there. And it's very warm, and I want to tell you here, prediction here is it's going to be 90 degrees today with lots of sun. No, I'm just kidding you. It's cold and the wind's blowing, and we wish we were with you. But glad you're joining us wherever you are, and it's been a great month. Want to mention several things to you quickly. One acknowledgement would be this. We have been so excited this month for the number of you that responded to get the text messages and the prayer, daily prayers, and mine arise each morning. First text I get, and I take that, claim the promise in the verse, pray the prayer, and 800 or so of you have joined us in that. So it's been so neat to have the knowledge that hundreds of folks from Crossroads are praying in unison that prayer whenever you pray, maybe the 911 time or maybe other times. So we're really thankful for that. I want to acknowledge this. I went through the North Kokomo new building just again this week, and it is continuing to take shape. I can see the finish line in sight. I want those of you online, both campuses, to know we're getting closer, and we're so thrilled for the work that's going on there. The progress is happening. Also want to acknowledge last weekend, Pastor Luke had a great message, and he gave an invitation at the end. We had four individuals accept Jesus Christ, and that was a great thing. I would just applaud that and celebrate that. And this week, our search team and our consultant are getting together with a final list of candidates that they'll begin the final stage of the examination process for our next lead pastor. Be praying for that. Sometime later in April after Easter, we'll be talking to you more about next steps in that process. God is going to reveal our person, and we're so excited about that. But let me start by, we're 1 week from Easter. Right? 1 week from Easter. And I just want you, when I say the word Easter, what comes to your mind? When I say the word Easter, and some of you are saying, okay, I'm in church, I should say Jesus, and I get that, but that may not. When I was a kid, I can remember this growing up. When I was a kid, Easter meant one thing, candy. We got extra candy. My mom would take a shirt box, usually, and put that kind of fake grass, you know, that green stuff in there, and then lay various candy. We didn't have a lot of candy growing up. My mom didn't believe in a lot of sweets, thought we ought to eat a little more healthy than that, but there'd be candy, and you would, when you opened up one of those eggs or one of those little bunnies, any of you remember the times where you unwrap it and you bite into it and you realize it's hollow? And you only got the little bit of shell, and you, or if you bite in, or if you break off the ear of one of those rabbits, and it's solid chocolate, and you're like, oh, yes. And I didn't know as a kid, but when my mom would put Peeps, she put Peeps in our basket, and I didn't care for them very much, and I started to notice they looked familiar. She just would keep them year after year and put them back in the grass. Matter of fact, when she died, we inherited them. We gave them to our kids because Peeps can't be killed. They never die. They're like zombies. They cannot be destroyed. But anyway, that's what I thought of when we had Easter. I want to give you two things today from a story in God's Word. Two elements of crying out that are as crucial to celebrating Easter as you can have. We're going to look at a story from the book of Luke, chapter 19, and we'll read a few verses here. It's in your notes if you want to follow along. It'll also be on this screen here in just a moment. So, let me explain where we are. We are days away from the crucifixion. We are 1 week away from Resurrection Sunday, from Easter. We're on a Sunday that you may have heard referred to as Palm Sunday because as you will see here, they talk about the fact that they laid palm things down. Are we in the right place? Yes, yes we are. All right. So that they laid palm branches down the road for, they put Jesus on a donkey, and that day almost everybody walked. If you were a person of honor, person of importance, person of influence. You got to ride. He rode on the donkey. He's making his way. He's made it from Jericho, gone through a little town of Bethany, and now he's making his way into Jerusalem, on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And we pick up the story where they're starting to go. And it says, when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for the wonderful miracles that they'd seen. Now, you've got to get this bit. Somebody's leading the donkey, and the rest of the disciples, rest of the followers are there with him. And my image is that one of them says, okay, favorite miracle, go. And maybe Peter said, that's easy, walking on water. Everybody walked on water. That's my favorite miracle. Remember, Luke did some great preaching about it last week. Or maybe Andrew says, no, that's easy, feeding all those thousands of people. Somebody found a boy that had lunch that Jesus could use to feed all those thousands of people right here. Yep, remember that? Or maybe somebody said, you know what? It was when the blind man that Brent preached about a couple of years, maybe it was when he got his sight back. Or maybe somebody says, come on, guys, it was Lazarus raising from the dead. But they are celebrating, and they are talking about it and what I've seen. And then this happens. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest heaven. And I've got to tell you, when I read that, even with some enthusiasm, I don't do it justice. Both of these lines, each line, are two separate lines from two separate songs that we call Psalms in your Bible, in that big book in the middle of the Old Testament called Psalms. Both those are lines. These are songs that would have been sung in church. If they went to church in that day, they heard these. So they weren't walking along quoting these. They were singing them. Can't you hear it? Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And can't you imagine this? They weren't just singing. They were dancing. And you say, Kevin, that looks silly. Listen, these were fishermen, accountants, folks that didn't know how to dance. I'm doing my best. If I let what was in me come out, if you saw how impressive my dance moves are, you'd have me dance every time I preach. But I'm not going to let that happen. But they're doing this, okay? They're doing this. They're excited. The party's going on. Folks are following. And then notice this. They come. Some of the Pharisees, these are the church folks that came running out of Jerusalem. They heard a commotion. There was an unauthorized church service breaking out outside of Jerusalem on Sunday, of all things. They came running out in the crowd, and they said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. And Jesus replied and says this. It's the strangest thing, isn't it? If they kept quiet, if I told them not another word, you see these rocks on the side of the road? You see these rocks that have been moved aside so that we can walk on a smooth path down this road? You see those rocks right there? They would start cheering. The rocks would cry out. You see, the Prince of Peace was entering the City of Peace. The King of Kings was entering the place where the royal city was. The prophecy about a Messiah riding in to the city of Jerusalem on a donkey was being fulfilled right before their eyes. Nothing could have been more right at this moment, right now, than crying out in praise. And yet, the guys that should have been leading the singing, the guys that should have been celebrating, the most spiritually known people in that time, were giving God no praise, were saying no honor to Jesus. And every time I read this verse, it reminds me of a story I heard once of somebody that was traveling, and maybe they're on a spring break, and they decide, I'm going to go to another church just in the community. I want to get to church in person. So they happened to walk into this church, and they didn't never been there before. And during the singing, when there'd come a time where it was pretty good, then they would clap and praise God, you know, and folks would look at them And this person a little bit later, when it came time to offering, he was just so excited. He gave his offering and he was just celebrating. And then pretty soon the preacher got up and the preacher says something, read a scripture and made a promise from God's word. And he says, amen. And felt a tap on the shoulder and one of the ushers goes, motioned the guy to the back of the room. And the usher said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm just enjoying church. I'm just worshiping God. I'm just praising Jesus. And the guy said, you need to stop that. And the guy said, well, I can't help it. I have Jesus in here. And the usher said, you didn't get him here, so keep quiet, okay? Now, these Pharisees were saying, look, I don't know what your party is going on here, buddy, but we don't celebrate you here. And they missed this part. When you remember what God has done, you praise him for doing it. You see, they had no knowledge that Jesus had done it. We have spent a month in March crying out to God for our needs. We have asked God to meet our needs. We've asked God to deliver us. We've asked God. And in this time, as we head towards Easter, we need to cry out in praise from the depths of our soul for the things that he has done. There are still things we're asking God to do. But boy, when it comes up to Easter, when you're reminded that our sins are forgiven, that our bondage has been released, that the prison door is swung free, that we've been delivered from what had kept us bound for so long, that we have hope and a future. When you remember those things, when you're in touch with the fact that he saved your soul, then you can't help but give him praise. Remember years ago going to camp one year with students, and there were two students there that year, one who had been several times, the other one, which was a newer student, and they were brothers. Their grandpa lived up here. They lived in Tennessee, and they would come up here and go to our camp. Grandpa would bring them up, go to our camp for a week. The younger brother's name was Kenny, and it was Kenny's first year at camp, and Kenny, at the end of a message, one service at camp, he comes forward and kneels down before and just has his head down like this, and he's praying. And you can hear him praying. You can't quite make out all about it, and he's praying. So we gathered around Kenny and prayed with him. And we're praying with him. He's praying, and pretty soon he kind of subsides, and he sits up for a minute, and we look at him, and he goes, and he went back down. So we prayed some more and prayed some more. I'm not kidding you. And then he raised up again, kind of took stock, you know, wiped his nose. And it was just like a duck going back down looking for more fish. And he prayed. And finally, the fourth time, he sits up. I'm not kidding you. We look at him like, we got to pray some more. He sits up. And he looks, took stock of his heart. And he does this. Thank you, Jesus. He praised God from right here, right on out. He cried out in praise as pure as I've ever seen it. And I would ask all of us, when during this season is a time you've gotten so in touch with what God has done for you that you just cry out in praise? You cry out in praise. You see, praise is not meant to be optional. God created everything to praise him. We're the only ones that get to exercise a choice. Psalm 148. Let me read this to you quickly. See if you get the gist of what's being said. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the skies. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. Praise him, skies above. Praise him, vapors high above the clouds. Let every created thing give praise to the Lord, because he issued his command and they came into being. He set them in place forever and ever. His decree shall never be revoked. Praise the Lord from all the earth. You creatures in the ocean depths, fire and hail and snow and clouds and wind and weather that obey him, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all livestock, small scurrying animals and birds, kings of the earth, all people, rulers and judges of the earth, young men and young women, old men and children, let them all praise the name of the Lord because his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and heaven. He has made his people strong. He's honored his faithful ones, the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. Every creature, every part of the creation, every season, God created it for the purpose of praise. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back. We've been forgiven. Our heart has been cleansed. We've been set free. We've been given the opportunity to have the Spirit of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, rests in us. And the command is clear to all creation and to us. The only question is, how quiet? How quiet are you going to be this Easter, Crossroads? It should be a party. If you get in touch with what God has done, those of you online that still, for your own reasons, and I get it, you're not able to worship and join us in person. That's okay. There should be a party at your house, just like there ought to be a party here. We ought to praise him because he's told us to do it, and not only that, he deserves it. But in the midst of the party, notice what happened next. As he, Jesus, got closer to Jerusalem and he saw the city ahead, he began, catch this, to weep. I got this image again. The disciples, they're praising, they're singing. And then one of them says, hey, check out the Lord. He began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, just a few miles from Jerusalem. He was raised in Nazareth, but he's walking into Jerusalem. It was the holy city. It was where his parents brought him when he was only an infant to be dedicated. It was the place as a young adolescent he debated the teachers of the law and talked to them about what God had written. It was the place all of Israel looked to. It was the holy place. It was the temple was there. It was where you met God. It was where you made your sacrifice. And Jesus longed for the people of Jerusalem to join his followers in praise. You see, crying out in praise includes crying out for others to join you. Cry out has to include praise, but it also ought to include intercession. We celebrate our redemption, but we also mourn and cry out for people that have not yet been redeemed. You know this? It is not, let me say this to you before I read these verses. Sometimes we look at people that cry a lot, and we say, my goodness, they cry all the time. They're weak. I'm a little better than that. I don't cry. I would say this to you. We're going to talk more about this in a minute. You and I have to look and determine, what do we cry out for? I'll ask you that question in a few minutes. Notice this, Jeremiah, Old Testament. If only my head were a pool of water. What? Listen to this cry. I wish my head were just full of water. You get that? And wish my eyes were a fountain where the tears could just flow out. You follow that? Why? Because he said, I'd cry all day long for my people who have been slaughtered. Jeremiah says, I've got a lot to thank God for, but to be honest, my heart breaks for those who I care about that have not yet experienced what I've experienced with God. Notice what Paul said in Romans chapter 10. My brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart. Don't miss that. That's the crying out again is not, okay, I got to be, let me get my lines down. How do I cry? You don't cry out with this. Remember this? You don't cry out with this. You cry out somewhere down in here. It has to come from the depths of who you are. It is a thank you, Jesus moment. He says, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God, I don't just keep it in my heart, God hears about it, is for the people of Israel to be saved. He preached, he was the evangelist to the Gentiles, the apostle to the Gentiles, but he had a heart's desire for the Jews. And then notice these words. This was written and recorded. It happened when Jesus had been on the cross, probably not for very long. Nailed to the cross, cross placed in the ground, others are watching. And notice what he says. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I want you to listen very carefully. As Jesus hung on the cross, he looked down, just like I am right now. He looked over and he saw the soldier that pounded the nails in, maybe still holding the hammer. He looked over and saw the soldier, the centurion, that had whipped him and scourged him, maybe with some of Jesus' blood still staining his clothes. Looked over here and saw a group of soldiers that were gambling over who got to take home his clothes. He looked over here and saw people that testified against him at the trial. He looked over here and saw people that were making fun of him as he died for their sins. He looked, his heart broke, and he cried out for God to forgive them. And could I suggest this? He looked past them at us. He looked at you. You weren't there yet, but he looked past them at you. He looked at me. He saw what we were going to do. He saw that we were going to act in a way that needed a Savior. And instead of condemning us like so many do, you know what he did? He cried out, forgive them. He cried out, forgive them. He wanted them to be forgiven so we could cry out in praise to God as his followers were. And hear this. Before you speak to someone, Brent urged you earlier, I hope you'll invite somebody to Easter. I hope you, those of you online, if you're going to be online, I hope you'll share it. Get others to join you online, maybe do a watch party, some invitation in that way. Those of you in person, I hope you'll encourage somebody. Speak to your family, speak to your friends about it. But I would say this to you. Don't just go talk to them for God. Don't just say, well, I'll go out. My church told me to invite somebody, I'll go invite. First, before that, cry out to God for them. Weep for them. Cry out to God for them. Speak to them. I want you, just like Jesus hung on the cross and looked around, I want you to look around in your life and ask this question. Who are you weeping for this Easter? God's put them in proximity to you. I appreciate the folks. Please don't misunderstand. It is great to have a burden for somebody on the other side of the world that you've never met and you just hear about. I appreciate folks that have that burden. We had one of our prayers, and we've had the prayer walls at this campus, both atriums, and we had one of our prayers written by one of our kids, and I loved it. We prayed over those prayer requests the other day as a staff, and one of them we got, this one boy just wrote this nice prayer request, and he said, I want to pray for everybody to be blessed. It's just like, I want to cover, let's just pray for everybody in the world. And that's good to do. But I would ask you this, who's in your proximity? Who do you work with? Who are you neighbors to? Who's in your friend circle? Who do your kids, parents of your kids, that your kids and their kids spend time together? Who do you have in your family? And you're going to weep for them here at this Easter. Let me say this. Some of you join us in this room. Some of you join us right now online. You know what's true? Somebody has already wept for you. I will tell you this. I know what it's like to preach and look out in a crowd and see a believing wife sitting beside a non-believing husband and watch the tears fall down her cheeks. She's weeping for her husband to experience the forgiveness she's already experienced. I know what that looks like. I have been grabbed right out there and had somebody grab me and whisper in my ear and say, I got Dad to come today. Pray. Because a daughter or a son is praying for their father who doesn't know Jesus, praying for them. I know what it's like for parents to finally get their kids to come. And maybe you're here today, or maybe they've spoken to you about coming next week. Maybe you're joining online. You're considering coming in person. I want you to know this. Somebody, perhaps, is weeping right now for you. And know this. When Jesus hung on the cross, you know what? He asked God to forgive you. He looked through time at you. He wanted you to experience forgiveness. And I urge you to know this. The debt has been paid for your sin. You don't have to feel condemned because Jesus was condemned in your place. He didn't just die for your sins and hope you had the power to accept him, but he rose from the grave, and the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is available for you.